Thanks to God for the gift of music and song. Good morning.
Good morning.
In our Bible study this morning, both the children and the adults, we learned about Naaman and the prophet Elisha, and how through the prophet Elisha, God spoke his word to Naaman. Naaman goes down into the water and is cured of his leprosy, coming out like a newborn child. Baby, fresh skin. We joked in class today that's like all the cosmetic companies. They always say, try this out, you'll have baby soft skin, right? What we learn from that historical account is not only that God can cure diseases, but primarily the real miracle that happens there is that Naaman, a Gentile, goes into the water in faith and comes out a child of God. He believes in Christ. So the real true miracle is first the forgiveness of sins, and then we see the effect of that, the healing of Naaman. We'll see that same theme, that same truth, proclaimed also in our Bible memory verse for today and in the gospel account when that man is let down through the roof by his friends. And first Jesus says to him, this paralytic, he says not, rise up and walk. But first he says, my son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. First and primarily, the highlight of all things, all of Jesus' miracles, is the forgiveness of sins. And then from that we see the healing. And right afterwards, Jesus says to the man, rise up and walk, and go home, and he does. So, in accordance with God's word and the great joy we have as Christians, we begin our service in his name and confess our sins and proclaim his absolution. So please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, his mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's introit will be sung a cappella, which means we'll sing it unaccompanied by the organ. The aim of singing the introit a cappella is so that we might better understand and listen to the words of Scripture which we are reciting. Scott will begin by giving us our opening tones. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears. The Lord saved him out of all his troubles. This is God, our God, forever and ever. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old. Things that have heard and known, that our fathers have told us.
We will tell the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might, and the wonders that he has done. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Say to my soul, I am your salvation. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears.
The Lord saved him out of all his troubles. This is God, our God, forever and ever.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Seated at the right hand of the Father, receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, of your bountiful goodness, keep us from all things that may hurt us, that we, being ready in both body and soul, may cheerfully accomplish whatever you would have us do. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
May be seated for our readings. The Old Testament reading for the 19th Sunday after Trinity is from Genesis chapter 28. Moses writes, Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. And behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am Yahweh, the God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We speak our verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases. Psalm 103, 2 through 3. I forgot the end of that chapter. It's on the other page. Let me finish that. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God." In Hebrew, Bethel. And this is the gate of heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 4. St. Paul writes, "Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." We stand for the singing of the Alleluia and the Holy Gospel.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You are the words of eternal life. Alleluia, Alleluia.
Getting into the Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Getting into a boat, Jesus crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed and go home." And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated for our sermon hymn 524, "How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds."
Soul.
Today's sermon was influenced by Pastor Peter Bender, a great catechist. You and I struggle with sin and the effects of sin in our lives as long as we live. We want to love our Lord, but we find ourselves so often turning away from the Savior who loved us and shed his blood for our salvation. The desire to love our Lord, coupled with the ongoing struggle with sin, can plague our conscience, how we see ourselves and how God sees us, and bring us to the brink of despair itself. This is part of the cross we carry when Jesus says, "Take up your cross and follow me." In this struggle with sin, there are always two wills at work. Satan's desire is to destroy our faith in Christ. He wants us to conclude, if I continue to struggle with sin, what's the point? I might as well give up and throw in that towel. What difference does it make? Our Lord, on the other hand, has a different motivation. Through the daily struggle with sin, he wills to teach us more and more to rely on him and not upon ourselves. And when we feel the burden of our sin, he also teaches us something else. He wants us to learn of the burden that he himself carried to save us from our sin. Remember, the terrors of conscience that you and I feel and suffer on account of our sin is part of what Jesus suffered in the terrors of the cross. There is, very simply, no torturous burden of sin that you and I might feel that Jesus did not take up himself. You see, the devil, in the times of such strife, wants us to think that God is far away from us, when the reality is, Jesus is the nearest to us when we feel that struggle with sin down to the depths of a burdened conscience. There he is. The comfort, peace, and relief from a troubled conscience is what our Lord wants us to receive. Guilt and a bad conscience can paralyze us like that paralytic in our gospel who was brought to Jesus by others who believed in him. The man couldn't walk. He couldn't move. His physical manifestations bespoke a spiritual reality of what sin does to us. It robs us of our salvation's joy. It makes us think that God hates us. When we willfully give in to the devil's temptations, we question whether or not it is possible for the Lord to love us anymore, much less save us from the threatening perils of our sins. That's a bad conscience, and it paralyzes us spiritually. When you doubt that God loves you, it's a paralyzing thought. Christ's absolution from outside of ourselves is the only cure. Of all the problems we might have as Christians, the greatest challenge is the ongoing struggle with sin. It's not COVID-19, it's not tyrannical governments or employers, it's sin. That's our greatest problem, our personal battle every day. When these people who believed in Jesus brought their beloved friend, their paralyzed friend to Jesus, Jesus taught them what is most important, the forgiveness of sins. For they bring this paralyzed man to him, and everybody would have expected the first thing, rise up and walk, as we see Jesus do elsewhere. Rise up and walk. But that's not the first thing Jesus says. The first thing he says to this poor crippled man is, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. There are no sweeter words in all the world. And these words speak to the heart of what it is, not only our greatest problem, but that which is the source of all our problems. In other words, if there were no sin, there'd be no paralysis, there'd be no cancer, there'd be no COVID-19, there would be no death. There are no sweeter words in all the world than Jesus saying, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. The man may have had a disease like polio that robbed his legs of their strength, or some other disease or ailment. It really doesn't matter. Whatever the source of his medical problem is, the real problem was sin. You know, the Lutheran confessions call this problem of sin the original sin, which is passed on to us from our father Adam. The sin which is passed on, which is the cause of everything that we say that's sinful, that we think that's sinful, that we do that's sinful. It's called concupiscence, a nice Latin word for the disease of sin. Concupiscence. It's worse than having AIDS. It permeates all of our thoughts and our will. Concupiscence, a passion for sin. That's what our flesh still tempts us with daily. A passion for sin, to love it. Jesus wants to teach us in today's gospel that his forgiveness is really the only medicine we need, because sin is our only problem, our only real problem. And if we have his forgiveness with certainty and surety, it erupts in boundless joy and the capacity to carry every burden in life, including the struggle with sin, with patience and with a confidence and with hope. I love the fact that the paralyzed man in the gospel today did nothing, because he couldn't do anything. He had to be brought to Jesus. He said nothing. He did nothing. He just laid there and received the Lord's forgiveness. What a picture of that, what a picture of what it is to be a Christian who is saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, and not by any works of our own doing. It was a pure gift of God's undeserved grace. We saw that also today in the Bible study. Naaman brought with him a great bounty of wealth. And Elisha says, no, not taking it. It's God's grace. It's his gift to you. Don't pay me. It's yours. You see, Jesus' word of absolution, that which we didn't earn or deserve, is anchored in Jesus' death and resurrection, which we did nothing to effect or to accomplish on our own. He did that work, and the power of that work is transmitted to us by his word of absolution. How could anyone object to what Jesus did? What the scribes did. Oh, they didn't object out loud. It was all in their thoughts, in their hearts. This man blasphemes. Who does he think he is? No one can forgive sins but God alone. How could anyone object to the comfort and peace, to the new life and that salvation that Jesus gave to this man? I mean, think about it. He was not only paralyzed, but he was separated from God by his sin. And now he is given the gift of eternal life through the Lord's absolution. Can't do that. You don't have authority to do that, Jesus. So the scribe said. But at the end of Matthew's gospel in the Great Commission, it is written, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me by the Father. My God, the Father. And why? Because he has suffered and died, and by the power of his death, he rose victoriously from the dead. That is the authority he has. No blasphemy whatsoever. But hidden within the scribe's accusation of blasphemy was also a failure to understand and believe in the depth of God's love for sinners and what that love moved Jesus to do for the whole world. When you and I struggle with sin, and especially when you and I struggle to believe how it could be possibly be that Christ would still love someone like me, even though I willfully sin today, it's actually the same difficulty to believe in the grace of God that characterized the heart of the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In a lot of ways, we are one and the same. Now, the second miracle in today's gospel, healing the man's paralyzed legs, is a sign that makes visible the absolution that Christ delivered to this man. It also teaches us that the Lord's forgiveness is what ultimately breeds new life and healing for all the maladies we face. It's why when I go to the hospital to visit the sick, like I did with Lorraine this last week, I always lead them in a confession of sins. You guys all know that I go and anoint with oil the sick, right? But we start with a confession of sins. Then I place my hand on their forehead and say, be of good cheer. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you of all your sins. I don't know if they'll get over the illness, whether they'll live or die. But I know that their sins are forgiven by that word, and that that word planted in their ear revives faith, comforts the conscience, and pledges to them the resurrection of the dead on the last day. And in that faith, I anoint them with oil for their healing. Be it on this side of glory or the next, it will happen. God's word is true. So Jesus, knowing the thoughts of the scribes, who can know anyone's thoughts but God, right? Jesus said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you or to say arise and walk? Make no mistake about it. This is no multiple choice. Well, I think this would be easier. I think this would be easier, actually. Now, you and I can do none of these things. For us and for the scribes, both of these things are impossible for us unless God were to give us the authority and the power to do so. We can't forgive sins. In other words, we can't take away sin that separates us from God and condemns us to temporal and eternal death. We can't do it. You and I cannot make someone who is crippled rise up and walk. Can't do it unless God gives us the power to do it. So Jesus makes his power to forgive sins visible to our eyes in today's gospel. That you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. And he arose and departed to his house. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such power to men. We call this in Lutheran theology the performative word, a word that is powerful as God spoke in creation, let there be light, and there was light. Out of nothing, light. Here he says, your sins are forgiven, and sin is taken away and covered by the righteousness of Christ. Rise up and walk. Why did the guy rise up? Why did he walk? Why did he go to his own house? Because Jesus said so. And that's the relationship of the Word of God to faith and faith to works. He heard the Word accomplished what it said, and you see the results. He rose up and walked home in the Word of the Lord. Hallelujah. You and I will struggle with sin and its effects upon our lives for as long as we live. It's part of our cross. But this cross always leads us to the cross of Christ. And the cross of Christ and the victory over sin and death and the new life of Jesus' death and resurrection is delivered to us by a word outside of ourselves. Luther says, our conscience becomes restless. It fears God's wrath and displeasure, and so it loses the comfort in the confidence of the gospel. We struggle with that every day. He goes on to say, And so the Lord again confirms to us that promise of the gospel again and again and again, just like he did with Jacob there at Bethel. For our sakes, Jesus said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Peace be with you. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. He who hears you hears me. So we come to Bethel, the house of God, to this place where he gives us his great gifts. Christ's power and authority to forgive sins has been given to his pastors for your comfort, for your peace, and for your salvation. And to vanquish sin's doubting question, how could he possibly love a sinner like me? Well, he does. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. And they marveled that he had given such power and authority to men. Do you believe that my forgiveness is God's forgiveness? Verily, you should believe so. For Jesus himself said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And my forgiveness, says the Lord, is the fountain and source of new life and eternal comfort. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. The congregation now stands to confess the faith. I know I wrote there the Nicene Creed, but let's confess the Apostles' Creed today. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Congregational announcements. You'll see on the end of your pews some nice arrangements from the wedding yesterday. And what, you know, it was a great feast, a great wedding feast, and those flowers can then be used for this great wedding feast of the Lamb and his kingdom. A double usage, I love it. We gave thanks to God for the marriage of Jack and Morgan Glinky yesterday, but also for our new coming members here, Wyatt and Maddie Cole, who were just married down at the hangar, Bartholomew's hangar over there. They'll be included in our prayers for today. This coming Saturday, President Matthew Harrison will be at St. John in Galva. You're invited for a meet and greet there at 4 o'clock, lasting until about 7:30. More information is there. Great opportunity to have the president of our synod come to our circuit. I think that's maybe a once-in-a-lifetime thing. a voters meeting next Sunday, as well as it's LWML Sunday. You'll see notes there. We're looking for a new Christmas program, or another year of the Christmas program director. So if you're interested or have a name, please submit that for us. Before you know it, Christmas will be here, right? And then there's a Reformation service, the Storm Lake Circuit, our whole circuit, our sister churches in the area will be gathering together on the 31st at 3 o'clock at Grace in Storm Lake. It'll be a wonderful time to get together and celebrate the gifts of the Reformation. With those congregational announcements, we also come before our Lord in prayer. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord, you are our God forever and ever. You are our salvation. And in Jesus Christ, your Son, you have delivered us out of all our troubles. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We glorify you, Lord God, that you have given such authority to men to forgive sins in the name of Jesus Christ, whose blood has made atonement for the sins of the world. Focus every word and deed of your ministers in the church toward this office of the keys, that the gospel may predominate in our worship and life together. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, restore to all Christian hearts the joy of your salvation by the blood of Christ, and make us eager to hear the voice of the gospel in the forgiveness of sins. So, in turn, lead every Christian household, husbands, wives, and children, to speak the truth with our neighbors and to forgive each other as Christ has forgiven us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, you bless the homes of your children. We give thanks for uniting Jack and Morgan, Wyatt and Maddie, in the bonds of wedded love, and for blessing with children, Tristan, Holly, Heather, Anjali, and Hannah. Sanctify all our marriages and protect the life of these unborn. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, grant wisdom to Joseph, our president, Kim, our governor, and all leaders. Even as you rule the world by your mighty power, be pleased to give godly understanding to our nation, that it may have peace and success in accordance with your commandments. And bless the final days of this year's harvest. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, your Son healed the sick and the broken. Hear our prayers for those in need among us, especially Max, Carrie, Mike, Chad, John, Anna, Glenn, Heather, and Frank, Lorraine, Larry, Janice, and Daryl, and Jeff. And grant them healing now and at the resurrection on the last day. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Holy Father, how awesome is this place, the very house of God and the gate of heaven. For here, according to Christ's word, your Son is bodily present with us in the mystery of the altar. Bring us in repentance and faith to eat and drink worthily at his supper this day, and through its forgiveness and healing, put off the old self and renew us in true righteousness and holiness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue with the singing of the offertory.
What shall I render to the Lord? All his benefits to me, I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call on the name of the Lord. I will drink the cup of salvation, and will call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now, in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. For you for the forgiveness of sins.
given for you. Take eat the body of Christ given for you. Take eat the body of Christ given for you.
Stand for the table blessing. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Depart in peace. Amen. We sing.
Sing the Lord and sing his praise. Tell everyone what he has done. The Lord rejoice and proudly bear his name. He recalls his promise.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate that marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, 924. Lord, dismiss us with your blessing.
Let us each your love possessing, triumph in redeeming grace. Oh, refresh us, traveling through this wilderness.
Thanks we give and adoration for your gospel's joyful sound. May the fruits of
in our hearts and lives abound. Ever faithful, to your truth may we be found.
Save your men, your bones shall call us from our struggling pilgrim way. Let our fear of death